Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to hear a challenge to a Mississippi law which prohibits abortion after 15 weeks. Thus, Roe versus Wade could be in the crosshairs. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, Holly, the media, the liberal version of the media, is going nuts over this because the Supreme Court could have allowed this to stand. Look, this is a case in which Mississippi passed a law that says you cannot have an abortion after 15 weeks. That is long before viability, which will be at somewhere 22 weeks or so. So it's way before viability, the ability of the baby to live outside of the womb. And under Supreme Court precedent, states cannot ban abortion prior to viability. Well, Mississippi took that head on. They say, no, in our state, we have a law that we're going to pass, and they did, that says no abortion after 15 weeks. Well, it got challenged in the lower court. Mississippi's law got enjoined. It went up to the Court of Appeals, relying upon Supreme Court precedent. The Court of Appeals ended up striking down the law as well. So now it gets petitioned to the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court doesn't have to involve itself in this case because the lower courts followed the Supreme Court precedent. But guess what? They decided to take the case. And here's a question presented. When you actually file these petitions, the petitioners, they present certain questions presented for the court to focus on, and then they give different reasons why the court, in their legal arguments, should take the case. Listen to this. It's a little convoluted. It's a badly worded question presented. But you can essentially see how important this is. Whether the Fifth Circuit correctly concluded that a Mississippi statute banning abortion after 15 weeks, months before viability, is unconstitutional under nearly 50 years of precedent, holding that it is unconstitutional to ban abortion before viability. Let me rephrase that. It's a question, but the question is answered in the question itself. It's essentially saying whether the lower court erred in applying the 50 years or so of Supreme Court precedent. Well, you would say, well, no, if they applied the 50 years or so of Supreme Court precedent, that's what the precedent says, and that's what they did, then they didn't err. So you would simply say, you know, obviously, yes, they correctly concluded it under the Supreme Court precedent. That's what the president says. Now, I disagree with it. But for the court to take this case with that kind of a question means that they're not questioning whether Mississippi courts really erred, but whether the Supreme Court itself erred and those precedents need to be reconsidered.
Right, because
that's the important aspect.
Under existing Supreme Court precedent, states may not ban abortions that occur prior to fetal viability, which is generally about 22 weeks or later. But now this is bringing up the question, 15 weeks, is it okay? Which to me is tragic. I mean, you're talking 7 weeks difference whether you can or cannot kill a child.
Yeah, I think it's wrong no matter what.
Yeah.
But I mean, the point is exactly that. The Supreme Court already has ruled multiple times that states cannot ban abortion prior to viability.
Right.
And so now they're taking a case in which the lower courts have struck down a law that bans abortion prior to viability. So the only reason why they would take a case like that is to re-examine its precedents, not to suggest that the lower court got it wrong, because the lower court followed the Supreme Court. Who got it wrong?
Right.
The Supreme Court itself got it wrong.
Which this is an amazing opportunity. We really need to pray for this. And as you said, the media going crazy, radical activists, you know, they get livid when they realize that you can't kill children. Abortion is a huge issue with them. And we saw it during President Trump's appointees at the Supreme Court. It was all about abortion is why they were getting all crazy.
Yeah, so you need four justices of the nine to vote in favor to take a case. Obviously, you need five to win a case. But on a case like this, from past experience, those four individuals, and it could have been five that voted to take it, but at least the four, and maybe five, mm-hmm. you know what they're doing before they cast their vote to take a case? They're looking around and they're predicting, although they may not know, but just thinking through the judicial philosophy of their other colleagues on the bench, they're casting that vote with a view in mind of whether they have the fifth vote.
Right, and we already know that Justice Thomas has already brought this up, that the Supreme Court needs to revisit this. So here we go. This is the opportunity.
I'm telling you, this is huge because this could be it in which the Supreme Court strikes down these terrible abortion decisions, beginning with the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision all the way to the 1992 Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision. Remember, in that particular case, 1992, the Roe versus Wade created this fictitious trimester system. And essentially what they said was that the interest of the state increased from one trimester to the second to the third, and their interest got stronger in the third trimester. By the time you get to 1992 from 1973, viability had moved into the second trimester. And so the whole trimester system of Roe versus Wade was blown up. And so everyone predicted that this case would overturn Roe. And in fact, the original vote was to overturn Roe, 5-4.
And remember, Roe versus Wade is all based on a lie to begin with. Norma Corvey did not want an abortion. It was her attorney.
And never did have the abortion.
Nor did Doe versus Bolton, the other case. She didn't want an abortion either.
And nor did she have one.
Right.
It was all based on fraud. And so in 92, the Supreme Court originally voted, after the oral argument, to overturn Roe versus Wade, 5-4. And then O'Connor and Souter lobbied Kennedy, who was originally in the 5-4 to strike down Roe, and he switched his vote 30 days into this, and then that decision got moved from Rehnquist, and it was ultimately issued by O'Connor, Souter, and Kennedy to uphold abortion but to modify Roe. Now, Kennedy is gone. O'Connor's gone. Souter's no longer there as well. Those have all been replaced. This is a new day. And this could be the day that we have waited for. We have said, and I believe firmly, that in our lifetime, mm-hmm. we will see the Supreme Court reverse the terrible Roe versus Wade opinion. And may that day happen quickly. May America return to a nation that respects the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception and respects and protects the most vulnerable among us. Texas is moving in the right direction along with other states as well. And what we see happening in Mississippi is happening around the country. Texas now, it has a big heartbeat. In fact, the Texas Senate passed a bill and the House already passed. It goes to the governor for signature. And this bill bans abortion. It's called the Texas Heartbeat Act. After the heartbeat is detected. So we're talking about not 15 weeks, but roughly around 6 weeks post-gestation, post-conception.
Right. And of course, life begins at conception, but this is a good start to start with a heartbeat bill and then continue working until we get Roe versus Wade overturned.
Because a lot of women don't even know they're pregnant at that time.
Right.
And they may have missed their first cycle or they just don't know. So this is very early on. And so what would have to happen for an abortion under this particular law to occur is you'd have to look at the heartbeat. Do you detect a heartbeat?
Usually about 6 weeks. Yeah.
About 6 weeks. And if there's a detectable heartbeat, you cannot do it. And it would be a crime for a doctor, an abortionist, to conduct an abortion on a baby whose heartbeat has been detected.
You know, what I really love, though, Matt, was during the debate of this bill, one of the sponsors, she shared her own story about her mother. And she said the complications and those dire prognoses continued. The back and forth to the doctor continued. And that heartbeat continued. And then one Tuesday in May, that new mom, which is the woman she's talking about, greeted her newborn, this surprisingly normal baby, marveling at 10 fingers and 10 toes and wisp of red hair. What a great story.
That's Representative Shelley Slauson.
When a doctor's saying, oh, you should, there was probably medical problems, you should probably
All
abort
kinds
the baby.
Of, yeah, trying to convince the mom to abort the baby. Well, that's this representative now
right.
that is there defending this bill. Thank God it passed. Well, for more information, stand with us as we stand with the sanctity of human life for people like Sandra Merritt that we're continuing to defend in California in the criminal trial, the civil trial, and many more. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.